This song today is the 29th of January 2012. We are in Lower Hamlet at the Assembly of Star Meditation Hall during our winter retreat. We have only 20 days for finishing our winter retreat of 90 days. The Lower Hamlet have two parallel sentences. It's a Vietnamese culture that one sentence have to have the opposite, counterpart of the other sentence, like Shui Tuong, Shui Xuân, Rau Rạch. Yang Kham Lo, it means the creek of spring, the spring creek. Rau Rạch means a kind of the sounding of the creek. There is the creek of Dam Amrita. And the poplar tree sink, you know, and the poplar tree sink, and the assembly come. The star come as a big assembly. Thousands of stars come together, and we, each of us, must have the ability to produce a kind of energy. Energy of concentration and on our body and our mind. We should not be mindful only during our sitting meditation, but we have to be mindful the whole day long. And we are a kind of big power plant where we have to produce the energy of mindfulness all day long. Since early morning in the evening, do not wait until you have the energy of mindfulness when you do sitting meditation only. That energy, they call power, bala. The first power, yeah, we need to create five kind of power during our day long. The first one is faith or, I don't know, kind of belief. Trust, certainty, the belief. This is a big power. If we don't have the belief, we will lose our energy. So if you have some doubt, and then it's not easy to make a kind of power, the power to push you to go ahead, and to go ahead in the way, on the path of transformation of your suffering, your difficulty into joy. So you need a kind of power, that faith. So the opposite of the faith, of the belief, is a doubt. We are not sure that this path is my path. We are not sure that maybe he is not my place to practice. And so if you have so many doubts like that, and without that, and when you have doubt, it means the opposite of the power of faith, of belief, and then you cannot go ahead. And when you have that trust, that belief, that faith, that energy is strong in you, and your eyes is shining, your body is strong. And so the practice here, it's not the faith on some belief of somebody else, but it must be your own belief, your own faith. But that faith, where it's come from? It's come from your living experience. Your living experience, yes. Because you were so angry, you went back to your breath, and you walked for a while, and it's work. You stopped to do wrong thing, and you know to do skillfully. So that is the faith born from your living experience. So it's not the faith because people speak so beautifully and you are persuaded because his beautiful speech by her wonderful praising you and so on. So that is not real faith. The faith should be born from your living experience. So this year we have the parallel sentence to practice is the net of doubt. I vow to destroy it. I vow to remove on the net the confusion of doubt. Countless knot of doubt. I make a vow to cut through on this net of doubt. I vow to remove on this knot of doubt of and then the other side, and then your torch of wisdom will shine at every of your path. So when you have that deep vision born from your real practice of living experience and its work, and then a kind of path, a kind of torch will shine the way to you in different path, different direction. So that way is insight, that deep vision born from your own experiences, not from arguing with others or the arguing with other person who try to persuade you. Here is your direct deep vision. They call insight. It's direct deep vision born from your own experience, and that is the torch of wisdom, the torch of deep vision, the thought of deep vision are shining at everywhere I go. So if you put into practice what the Buddha taught and transmit by me, and if you practice and it's work for you, and that is the kind of living experience. And by sense of when you go back to your in-breath and out-breath, mindfully, your mind totally with the air entering into your lung, your mind totally with your in-breath, your mind totally with your out-breath, and then when your mind stick to the in-breath and out-breath, you release on the dispersion, you release what you are angry at, you release what you are doubting, you release what you are, you feel irritated, and why you are dwelling, your mind totally with your in-breath, your mind totally with your out-breath, you are one with the in-breath and out-breath, and all the worry, anxiety, suffering, hesitation is released. And when you can feel release during the time where you dwell in your in-breath, dwell in your out-breath, dwell. And this you can keep 5 minutes release from all these worry, anxiety. And you see that, oh, it's work. I have at least 5 minutes to be in peace. And then your agitation come back and you say that, no, I try to go back to my in-breath and prep out-breath and release all these worries, this irritation, this anger. And then if you do it for a while and you feel it's work, so that is living experience. And that's the kind of, but we cannot call faith yet. It's only one part of the faith. Yeah. One part. You need some more living experience. And everything you learn from what I share, you have to put into practice. Don't take note a lot, but don't practice. But so, you breathe, you are one with your in-breath, one with your out-breath, and when you breathe in a way that you feel kind of peace, kind of joy, a kind of concentration, at the beginning, a little bit of joy, a little bit of peace, a little bit of concentration. But then if you dwell peacefully out, in, out for the while, you have 5 minutes of peace, 5 minutes of joy. And then, so a person who passed away, he cannot breathe in and breathe out. But you can breathe in, you can breathe out. And you can dwell in your in-breath. You can dwell in your out-breath. And it brings you a lot of joy. It brings quite a number of peace. You need to taste that. And when you taste that, you believe on that path. That is not the path offered to you by the Buddha or by me, but by your own living experience. If you lose faith because you do not practice, you have your nose, you have your two lungs with two lobe, and you live in the atmosphere where you have time to go back to your in-breath and out-breath. And then if you don't breathe, and then you say, oh, I'm still doubt this path. I don't know if this path is real path or not. How you can be successful if you don't try to practice? Well, nobody force you to believe. You have to breathe by yourself. You try, and because there is some moment of difficulty, you try to dwell in your in-breath, dwell in the out-breath, release the tension, dwell in your in-breath and out-breath, release the carrying away by that agitation, and then you can have the belief. But if you see people around you, there are people who encounter the same situation, but they still relax, they still do the work beautifully, peacefully. That is, you can see that the practice work because it's work with you a little bit as you are beginner, but it's work with many brother and sister around, and then it's a kind of direct experience. And that direct experience is the foundation of your faith. The net of doubt, the net of worries, doubt, I can break it. Why? Because I have chanting, I have true, right faith, born from my own experience. There is one brother who asked me, I still have some doubt. In the sutra said that if you practice, you will be enlightened. But I do not see any enlightenment at all. I follow the Buddhist Institute for 6 years. I'm a very good student. I know by heart all the sutra. But this, I don't feel, still have difficulty. I don't feel enlightened at all. I have so many difficulties. I still doubt. I'm not sure that enlightenment is a true thing or just a dream. I practiced 7 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, not a lot. But still, the suffering still arise in me. So I have some doubt. 8 years in the Buddhist Institute is a lot. I know a lot of sutra. But Thay said that because you don't have a right view. Right view is the view, the total view, the view non-dualistic. Non-dualistic, right view, non-dualistic, it means you see that suffering is enlightenment. Wherever you have a suffering, there's a chance for you to get enlightenment. So when you have affliction, suffering, and then a chance for you to get enlightenment. So you have to see suffering and enlightenment are one. And that is a right view, right, non-dualistic. Being now is klesha, sometimes people translate by affliction, by and Bodhi is enlightenment. And enlightenment or deep vision or insight. Yeah. But we practice, but the affliction is still there, and I do not see any enlightenment. And you think that enlightenment, when you have it, you have everything. You don't need to practice, because all the afflictions are gone. And so you are enlightened, and so you don't need to practice. It's your view. Your view, you think that when you get enlightenment, and then enlightenment remain, and affliction disappear totally. That is a dualistic view. You need to learn to see in a non-dualistic way. It means that wherever there is affliction, right away enlightenment is there in order to transform. Wherever, and so even you have big enlightenment, but there is always need affliction for you to transform. And you think that when you have a lotus, you don't need any mud. No. Even the small lotus, you need mud. And a big lotus, you need mud. When it's in blooming, beautifully blooming, you still need mud. Without the mud and the water, the lotus will not last long. And so your insight is the same. Your vision, your deep vision, must be nourished by affliction. Wherever you have affliction, you have enlightenment, you have deep vision. Don't say that when you have a lotus, okay, you don't need water, you don't need mud. So enlightenment and affliction, they come in the same time, like left hand and right hand. When you take the left hand, you cannot have right hand. When you have take right hand, you cannot take the left hand. And so the Buddha sit and get enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, and he will get enlightenment. And people thought that, well, when he get enlightenment, he have no affliction at all. So why he still continue to do sitting meditation? He still continue to do walking meditation a lot. He walk in meditation every day. And when he is already enlightened, why he need to go walking meditation? Why he need to do sitting meditation? Because he do need sitting meditation in order to transform a number of affliction. So like you sweep your house already, why tomorrow you have to sweep again? And after tomorrow you sweep again, why? Because the house is already clean. But you have to clean every day. Tomorrow you continue to clean, and after tomorrow you still clean. So for enlightenment to be there, you have to sweep away all the affliction every day. You have to look deep to transform, to look deep and to transform. And that wherever there is affliction, where there is affliction, there is enlightenment. And there is right hand, there is left hand, there is below, above, up, ahead, behind. So thanks to affliction that you have enlightenment. And thanks to the mud that you have lotuses. And that is a non-dualistic view. We too, we can see that when we breathe in mindfully, we practice appropriate attention. It means attentive only to the positive thing, what is fruitful, what is helpful. Don't focus your attention on a very negative thing and complain and so on. So we have to nyiritai, it means bring your attention to the appropriate way. It means to the positive way. And so in you continue to be mindful to your step, to be mindful to what you are doing. So you are in mindfulness, so you can release your regrets, you can release your irritation, you can release your anger. And By doing so, you have more peace. You have freedom, freedom from this affliction, and you have peace, you have freedom, you have joy, you have, and that is the quality of enlightenment. And these are elements which contribute to enlightenment. And if you want to perpetuate it, keep it, that joy lasting long, and then you continue to breathe, and you say that, oh, I pay attention to my in-breath and out-breath for a few breathing is okay, and then you are carried away again by your irritation, by your anger. So you have to keep as long as possible your moment of mindful breathing, joy, peace. And people say that in the Pure Land of the Buddha, there is no affliction at all. Yeah. But another part of the sutra said that no, inhabitants in the Pure Land practice a lot. When there is a wind pass by, there is teaching, and then the inhabitants have to practice. And if there is no affliction, why they have to practice? Because the wind would give the Dharma, they practice. And every day people start, continue to practice. If you are on the Pure Land where everything is joyful and is happy, why you have to practice? It means that there is somewhere that you need to transform into lotus. There is some suffering you need to transform into something, understanding, compassion. So when you have a body, you could get a cold, you can have pain. So the Buddha also have a body, he also get a pain, old body, he's painful. And then, so when a student, a beloved student like Shariputra passed away, and then he's sad too, he's not a rock, but because he is the one who know to handle his suffering and transform them. He will not allow the affliction to dominate. And then you think that the Buddha have no suffering. And then when his beloved student die, he smile and he's normal. No, he must suffer. He suffer and then he transform. He transform his suffering. That is the insight. That is we call right view. Right view is like that. Every step bring you peace and joy, liberation, insight. And when you walk like that, that is enlightenment, body, buddhi, and body is enlightenment. And enlightenment come from what? From your affliction. So because there is affliction that you transform into enlightenment. So suffering and enlightenment go together. So every day, if you practice, you always bring to you peace, joy, liberation. And if you stop practicing, the suffering will come, normal. And the little enlightenment, a little division, a little freedom, a little joy come together and make you become a person really emancipate, slowly building your emancipation. But you have some doubt because you think that the enlightenment is a kind of box people send to you by post office, and you receive one, and then you are enlightened. And when you are enlightened, oh, and somebody died close to you, fine, he died. You cannot do like that. And then when you have that box of enlightenment, bye-bye all the suffering. So, both come together, no suffering, no enlightenment. And many patriarchs have reminded you, you can find enlightenment right in the affliction. Phiền não tức Bồ Đề. Phiền não is affliction. mean phiền não, affliction. Tức is mean, means Bodhi, enlightenment. Wherever you have affliction, there you will get enlightenment. The Buddha and all the patriarchs have seen that. And they do not cease to repeat that, but we only catch 1/10 of that, 120% of that, and you should complain that, oh, why? I study for 6 years, 10 years, and I still have affliction. So affliction will transform you into enlightenment. See, the second is tuệ, it means deep vision. The third power is then concentration. The first one is faith, the second one is deep vision, the third one is concentration. If we have the vision that this flower is so wonderful, she is the manifestation of the whole universe. She is the manifestation of Dharmakaya. It's the work of the Mother Earth and of the Father, the Son. And if you can see your body, it's a manifestation, a wonderful manifestation, a kind of architect, wonderful architecture of the Dharmakaya, of the body, of the cosmos. And then that is also a flash of division. But a flash of division is not division yet. You have to maintain that flash of vision continuously, morning, afternoon, evening. And then by doing so, the deep vision will transform into real action. So early morning you feel so wonderful that you have this wonderful body and an architect, a marvelous architect manifestation of the Mother Earth and the Father, the Son, and many generations of your ancestors. But you have a flash of enlightenment like that, and then you go on with other agitation way and disperse way, and then one day, one in a dispersion, you can do some wrong thing. So you have to keep steadily this enlightenment every second, every minute, until the whole of the day. So Kiến Trúc Chân Như, it means the architecture of the suchness. Suchness is things like that. It's a beautiful architecture of suchness of the cosmos. And then you continue to keep that enlightenment, that flash of enlightenment. Đẳng trì means continuously. 7 o'clock, 7:05, 7:10, 10 minutes, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You continue to keep that enlightenment. So you have to keep 3 doors of liberation. So you practice the door of liberation, emptiness, or signlessness, or aimlessness. So if you practice signlessness, you have to practice signlessness all day long. And or you practice emptiness, all day long. You practice aimlessness all day long. So you have that insight of impermanence, keep all day long. If you have the insight of signlessness, keep all day long. And so now the practice is mean keep the concentration all day long of what you have, that insight, that flash of insight. So the third power is mean concentration. If you keep that concentration steady, because you have diligence, it means you do it continuously. You do not cease to practice diligence. So in order for your concentration to be steady, you need to have diligence. It means you do continuously, don't do 1 second and then go many other things, dispersing, and then go back in concentration for a flash of enlightenment, and you go in dispersion in other thing. So it means you have to practice diligently, using skillfully on the element which help you to keep the practice continuous. We have learned right diligence. So right diligence is we know that our mind have made in our store consciousness this positive seed, positive living experience, but also negative seed, negative living experience. So chánh tinh tấn means right diligence. You have to invite continuously the positive seed, the positive living experience in you continuously. If you have the experience of fear, of despair, don't invite them up to your consciousness. You have to be aware of what you are have appropriated attention. Attention only to the appropriate element. It means a positive living experience of something wonderful and good, great, and so don't be touched by inappropriate living experience like So your mind dwell peacefully to that wonderful living experience, second wonderful experience, third wonderful experience, and don't let the negative experience touch you. So that is right diligence. So you manaskara means that you attentive. You are attentive to that attention. Manaskara. And you have to be attentive. And in the 44 Gatha of Asanga, we learned last month, if we have ignorance because we do not practice appropriate attention. Manaskara yoniso is meant appropriate. Manaskara attention to. Your mind have to be in touch always what is appropriate, what is positive living experience. You think, if your mind think of how wonderful to use that drugs, how wonderful to drink that liquor, how wonderful, and then your mind think of, oh, it's terrible, that things happen, it's terrible, the other thing has happened to my sister, other experience that terrible experience, so this not appropriated attention. You have to be attentive to what is positive. So yonisha or is mean attentive, appropriate, but ayun. So diligence, right diligence, is the power of illusions. Is don't allow your mind to be in touch with what is negative. When you look at the film, a movies, where there is a lot of violence, a lot of despair, that is not good attention, appropriate attention. It's not appropriate. But if you listen to a Dhamma talk, to you listen to a chanting that give you a lot of peace, joy, that is attentive, appropriate attention. So when you live in a sangha, this sister practice attentive, appropriate attention. This brother practice correctly, walking meditation, sitting meditation, working meditation. We live in a sangha. There is a sister who do like that, a brother to do like that, a lay friend to do like that. Everyone try to do like that, and that you always have như lý tác ý. It means your attention go always in the appropriate way. So since a mammifer using the four limb, now you become, you only use two limb to walk on your feet, and then your two hands are free for doing many other things. You become Homo erectus, and then for many thousand years you become Homo erectus, and you make use of your hand in order to think, to make the beautiful things. When you stand up, become the first Homo erectus, you try to use something in a rush, but tends to mindfulness, and then you walk mindfully, you act mindfully, you speak mindfully, and then you become conscious homo. So when you can use mindful homo, you walk in order to come and grab something. You walk just for enjoying walking in peace, to enjoy your own presence and the presence of situation around you. You walk as a free person. You walk and you become Homo conscious. And a person can come from Homo erectus, you become Homo conscious. And slowly, and now you can Homo sapiens. Sapiens mean wisdom. But in fact, until now, it's not many are Homo sapiens, because the wisdom is not always present to everyone. So we try to practice Homo conscious in order to really be Homo sapiens. So I walk not in order to go there to grab something, but I walk just for enjoying my own presence, enjoying the presence of many things around me. All are wonders for me. And you see a person who walk in front of you joyfully, relaxingly. That is a wonder. And then you see a person who cook or who cut things, wood, in mindfulness, relaxingly. That is you are. You enjoy many wonderful things. But when you go back to the city, you see everybody are in rush, and then they are easily to irritate. They are easily to shout at you, and then you see that, oh, poor people. And it's not easy to have new litak. It's not easy to have appropriate attention, because you have to practice a lot in order to keep your attention to appropriate things. So when you wake up in the morning, you can come and open the light, or you can open mechanically as a machine, or you open the light mindfully, and you see that, and your hand touch the button, and you say that in 1 second, this room will be full of light, and then you enjoy so much. Just a miracle. I put my finger on that push, and then full of light, and so wonderful. So that is mindfulness. And mindfulness, you think, see thing, full of light. And then the day, you have many occasion to put your finger on the contact in order to make, to give a lot of light. The room is so dark, and you need only one touch of your finger on the room in order to see full of light. But everybody have done that. Who have feel full of light, enlightenment, when you push your hand on the button to put the light on? And we have the chance all day long. Everybody walk, everybody work, Everybody open the light. Everybody put out the light. Everybody urinate. Everybody defecate. But they don't look deeply and do not touch the positive thing. And nobody can do it for you. You have to do it. You have to do, you have to experience that. And you feel happy. And you have all the condition to be happy. Buddha, teacher, many big brothers, many young brothers, sisters who practice all day long. And if you have some doubt, it's your fault. It's not because you have a lot of time to talk, to talk, to talk, to talk a lot, and it's gone. But if somebody who is not very smart and is water your negative experience, but if you do it for yourself, and when you see your practitioner friend, and then you see that we appreciate deeply, oh, he come from so far just for practicing. How about me? And then you do it properly. Oh, she come from very far and she have to arrange. Finally, she can come here for practicing. How about me? So you try to practice properly. And then you have to have appropriate attention to many things. In a practice center like that, there is many, many hours for you to practice. You sit, you touch what is wonderful around you, what is wonderful in your body, your eyes still function well, your ear can hear all these songs, and it's time for walking meditation, collective walk. And then we walk like a stream of river, a stream of water walking together. And then you let the dark idea to carry you away. That is your fault. It's not the fault of the practice center. The practice center is for you to have a chance to practice sitting meditation, the occasion to eat mindfully, the occasion to work mindfully. And when you eat mindfully, you see that the piece of bread is so wonderful. The coming of many generation of ancestors who think how to transform the wheat into that wonderful piece of bread. And then that rice, how people can cook so this becomes so tender and so good. And if you have no energy at all, you doubt this practice, you doubt this way, that is because you don't know to enjoy all the appropriate condition that people, a practice center, try to create for you. So diligence is a source of power. We must. So, Tang is, you have to try to be in touch steadily with all the appropriate condition, good positive condition, and don't allow your mind to be close to what is negative. So, when you have faith, you practice a lot of, you have a lot of energy, and you like the practice, you like to go to sitting meditation, you like to do walking meditation, you like to do working meditation, and because you have that faith, and if you are lazy, and then you only want, and then we want 20 days of laziness, because you don't have that power of, you have no power of faith. So then it's also you are attentive to 13 in faith, and then tang is mean diligence, nim means steady mindfulness, then concentration, and tuệ means wisdom. So I repeat, 5 power: Din is a faith. Tang is diligence. And Niệm is mindfulness. And then is concentration. And Tuệ is inside, is diffusion. So in our Sangha, there are members who practice well these five powers, and they have a lot of joy, a lot of peace. But they continue to do all the work joyfully, peacefully, steadily. But there are who are less, there are less. But in this Sangha, I guarantee you there is quite a lot who have these five powers. But there are still, if you have some doubt, if you are still have some doubt, you feel that because you cannot have there peacefully, and so you say that, oh, maybe it's not my place here, and you go to another center, and you practice away for a few months, oh, maybe it's not my place, and you go another place, and there are people who go around and around and around. I have a poem saying that, dear friend who go around in a circle, you go around, around. Have to learn to stop and to look deeper and to enjoy your five power, these five sources of power. You can produce it in your dailies, not during your practicing sitting meditation, but you can produce these five energy when you go defecating, when you go urinating, when you go brushing your teeth, when you go cooking, when you go sweeping the floor. Everywhere you can produce these five power. Five bases in us. We are, there is five energy house who can create all this energy, these five energy of faith, of diligence, of mindfulness, of concentration, of deep vision. And in our power, in our body, our mind, we have all this base to create these five kind of power. And thanks to these five power that you can help yourself, you can help people around you, you can help life. So we bring 44 gathas. 44 gatha of Asangha, do you bring along with? 44 gatha we learned last month. Among us, there are those who are scientists, who know a number of science, knowledge about science. So I propose that a number of us try to compare the sight, the insight of the 44 gathas of Asangha, and you compare with your insight about science. So that you can see how your knowledge about science can help you to explain to those who, for the scientists who don't understand the way of the patriarch Asangha have offered about emptiness, about a number of things, non-dualistic way to see. For instance, in Buddhism, we learn the nature of no birth, no death. In science, they, kind of Lavoisier have said that nothing is create, nothing die, because when it's die here and it's appear in other side. And then, so that is, Lavoisier is a scientist, and we is, as a Buddhist, we say that no birth, no death. So, if we have that insight, that is one illustration, but you can find many others. And then, in Buddhism, we said that everything is impermanent, everything is transformed. And so, science said exactly the same. everything is changing. Nothing can stay immobile for more than 1 second. And then it's the same for in Buddhism. In Buddhism, everything is changing. And so an intelligent practitioner, you have to can see that the Buddha have said so, but science have seen that too. That is, we can help both sides to understand mutually each other. Like we say that in Buddhism, we have two kind of truth. One we call conventional truth, and one we call absolute truth. Ultimate truth or absolute truth is like, and in science there is also two kind of truth too. There is a kind of principle, a kind of discovering in the past science, like Newton, etc. Newton discovery, and then this kind of conventional science. But the science have make another step to the world of quantum physics, and then in that world things are more different. And if you don't release your knowledge on the Newton science, so you cannot grasp, you cannot see truly the quantum physics. So in science there is two kind of truth too. A kind of science have been recognized by Newton, and it's been called a classical science. And another new science, they call a quantum science. And we can compare. And science is on his own discovery. And so we can tell the scientists that you try this one, because in Buddhism, there are this kind of, and then you can, and we can compare. And so among you, there are scientists, and try to use your knowledge on science and your knowledge on Buddhism in order to compare and to help people to understand better. So science can help Buddhism, Buddhism can help science. And Buddhism can be an inspiration for science in its research. It's what we are bringing out at our 21-day retreat for among you who live in Plum Village, or those who listen to me in Deer Park, in Pak Chong, in Blue Cliff, in Magnolia, and those who are online listening to me. If you learn and you try to see what Buddhism can offer to science, and then those of you, especially those who are online and listen the whole winter retreat, and try to practice at your home, and then if you have some insight, please send to us. Yeah, we try to invite a number of scientists to come. One person who is also famous in NASA also will come. He promised already. In the Yatha that we learn from Asanga, 44 Yathas, we see clearly that Asanga taught, the teacher Asanga has taught to teach the Savastivada. Savastivada means a kind of school who said that you don't have a separate self, but you have many conditions. You have many conditions to come together, and it gives to one togetherness that you have the impression, the illusion that you have a separate self. You have a separate ego. But in fact, if you look deeply, you see that there's many conditions to come together for you to be called sister, so on, brother, so on. But you don't have a separate self. So they see that we are like a stream. There is. In that we learn. All the yathas we learn have the advantage that there is energy, there is, but there is no subject. This energy, that action, but there is no subject. So like it's rain, but there is no subject of rain. It's condition come together is rain. Condition come together is become snow. But there is no one who make the rain, who make the snow. Now we have this body, we have feeling, we have perception, we have mental formation, we have 51 mental formation, but there is no a boss who sit up and then do all these things. Because your 51 mental formation interact and bring you to this action or other action. Sometimes it's very beautiful, but sometimes it's awful because condition come to the way that is not beautiful. And so like a tangerine with ten section, so like the current of water, it's true that there is a current of water, but there is not a boss who make that current. They come together as several drop of water to a tiny creek, and then many creeks make a big river, but it look like a real personality, a real ego of river, but in fact it's not like ego of river. They come together as the countless of drop of water and countless of creek, and it become to this river, and there is no boss of this river. No spirit of this river. And so, yeah, there is no otter of this river. It's rain, but you don't need a boss to make rain. It's snow, but you do not need a boss to make snow. When conditions are sufficient, rain will be cloud, will become rain or become snow. When we act something, we act from your perception. Usually we ask some perception. And so you are aware of your feeling, your mental formation. And so it looks like there is something perform, something speak, something, someone walk. But we don't need a boss, because there is a retribution, but there's no order of retribution. Yeah. There is retribution, there is action, and the result of action, but you have no one. Yeah. So there is no responsible for that action. Because condition come like that, and there is that action, but it's not the main boss of that action. The characteristic of Asanga, of the teacher Asanga, is he don't want us, the reader, to fall down into extreme. Like the one extreme is said that everything is yes, exist. And in other extreme, everything is empty, there's nothing. Everything is nothing. But there is other extreme, is everything exists. So the teaching of the teacher Asanga try to help we to remove these two opposite sides. Like a confirmation. Or confirmation or reducing. One said that everything exists and others all is everything is nothing. It's nothingness. So for before Asanga, there is Nagarjuna. Nagarjuna is a big bodhisattva who elaborate the teaching of emptiness in a very beautiful, extremely beautiful way. But because he teaches emptiness is so wonderful that people risk to believe that there is only emptiness. And so Asanga tried to complete it by presenting the way in a way that people were not caught by the emptiness and by the existence and non existence. So don't let it lose on the main point too. So the two things, you have to be aware of the two sides. Don't be caught by the emptiness, don't be caught by the existence where Nagarjuna using in a very different way. He used a kind of arguing. A kind of arguing that people use dialectic way to destroy our notion about existent, non-existent, coming, going, and that is a way of Nagarjuna Bodhisattva, the teacher who is very well known and very versed. And there are those who have not a thickness of practice and learning. They believe that everything is nothing. So Asanga teach Vishnanabada school. It means the Buddhist psychology school. And so he know that he tried to avoid the negative part, but he do not cut by the exaggerating part. So the third sentence means all the Dharma have no clear function or something. Things like your ear, your nose, your eyes, or the pine tree, or they call things is things like the pine tree, the flower is also a Dharma, you are a Dharma. And so the function is, there is a Gata who said that your eyes cannot read, you cannot see the form. Yeah. But many, the eyes is only a condition for you to see, to have the your eyes only cannot see. You used to think that your eyes can see, but in fact, your eyes are only one condition, and the retina, and many other things who come together, and the light outside, and then many things for you to see. So if you oversimplify, you say that, thanks to eye, I can see. No, thanks to eye, you cannot see. So eyes is only one condition, and the retina, and then many other things, and then the light outside, and then a lot of condition for you to see. So we cannot have eyes consciousness. So there is a seven not useful. Like the first one is your eyes cannot see. Your eyes alone cannot see. Your eyes alone cannot see. Your eye need to have retina. You have optical nerve. You can have many other things in order to see. No ability to do anything. The second one is no tui yung. It means you can. Yung is mean using, but tui it means accordingly. It means that you are there to keep stable, keep alive, to perpetuate, keep alive, to the kind of base for all the action. Because eyes consciousness only exists in every shatna. Shatna is the shortest period of time. Like the river only exists in every shatna. The shatna later become, you have another river, it's not the same river. Because every second after there is new drop of water who's coming. You cannot tuyung. It means you are not there in order to perpetuate the manifestation. The third one is voshin. It means this one will not give birth to other things. This thing will not give birth to other things. Like your mother cannot give birth to you. It looks like funny. But your mom is a condition. Because it needs a sperm of your father. It needs also food for you, the air for you to breathe, the food for you to eat, the housing, the drinking, and many, 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 many conditions for your mom to give birth to you. So you cannot say that your mom can give birth to you. It's not enough. Your mom is only one condition. So like the eyes is a condition for you to see, but you cannot see by yourself. The eyes alone by itself, like your mother by herself, she cannot give birth to you without the sperm of somebody, and then she will not give birth to a child. And not only the sperm and her ovum, but also the air she breathes, the food she eats, and many conditions for her to give birth to a child. So, Voshin, you cannot be born without other conditions. Tha is others. And the fifth cannot born by itself. It's not born by other things. It's not born by others. It's also similar to in the Trung Quang Lung. They will not give birth to another thing. Vo yi jing ling. They have no ability to come from here to other place. Because it only exists in one shatna, shortest period of time. When you arrive to another place, you become another person. It's not the same. Now you are here. But when you stand up, already another person. Because new things have been born, new things die. And so you are 50 years old, and you at 49 is different. You at 20 is different. You from 5 year old to 50 year old is not the same. You are no longer the same. So two persons so different. There's no moving. if moving, it means from 5 years old, now you are 50 years old, you are like that. No. When you are at 50 years old, you are quite another person. And this is correct to human, correct to every living beings on earth. The sixth characteristic is yogyakta. There is no ability to destroy other things. They cannot, no ability to destroy other things. No function to destroy other things. The destruction, the disintegration of other things come from many conditions. It's not only one condition. And the last one is both. You cannot destroy yourself by yourself. You cannot, the river cannot commit suicide. You never can commit suicide. Many conditions lead to suicide. This one person is, you know. On the Dhamma, everything do not have only this, have all these characteristics. And when you speak in such a way, and that when you speak like that, you go above the truth called conventional truth. But here is ultimate truth. When you say in the ultimate truth, you say that on the Dhamma cannot do that, is eighth condition. And that is, you use an ultimate truth. Do means abiding on the formation, cannot. On formation are only momentary. They are only momentary. They cannot. On condition, things undergo change in every instant. Their abiding is not something real, much less their function. On the Dhamma, only manifest in only one shatna. The last thing of. So they cannot last more than one shatna. So that how they can have the function? If you are a scientist, is a quantic scientist, you must see that in quantic science, do you see that a kind of electron, a kind of particle? Can you see that? Every atom, every electron, and they are shatna yek. It means they change every shatna, so shortest period of time. And the observer also change every shatna. And the object of the observation is also change every second. So both are shatna yek. It means that they change every second. Every less than second, 1,000, every shatna. So Asanga use the knowledge of Sarvastivada school, and there is only every own things, but these things are changing every shatna. There is a nyangkwa, it means a cause and effect, but they change. There is no author, no boss, no. we can say that on the gathas from the nine is they explain about the nature. They explain about the nature of all dhammas. Dhamma, it means things like the flower, like the house, like the person. So all the dhamma enter being and enter are. They're born, they die, they change every second, every shatna. So all dhamma have no function. Because every shatna is transformed, is transformed, is transformed. So we can arrive to like that. We can arrive to the no sign, no aim. You cannot grasp. And the dhamma are non-dualistic. I repeat, the first eight gathas, the gatha number one until the nine, they speak about the cosmos. There is no a self, separate self. There is only the Dhamma, and the Dhamma, it means things. Dhamma here is not the teaching of Buddha, but the things. Yeah. And every Dhamma do not have these five, that seven characteristics. And from the ten, and nyang shu ya, it means the world of humans. Yeah, and the world of humans, their karma, the fruit of their action, and their hairy, illusory perception, partial perception, and their affliction, carry away by all this affliction, and this affliction pull and lead to the situation of suffering. And so we transform according to the 12 links. In this we accept that the obstacle of affliction and phiền não chướng, it means the obstacle of klesha, of affliction, and sở tri chướng, sở tri, it means the object of your knowledge, a kind of object of your knowledge, it means your perception, your affliction, klesha means affliction, and then your perception, your partial perception is the cause of your suffering. The second point is some action and can have fruit of the action is give a lot of power, but there is no boss. Many conditions come together, it's happened like that, and you have that karma. The third point is the gatha number 14. It said that, and every things exist only in a very shortest time, shatna, so you cannot grasp at them. So the lesson page, the gatha number 14. The fifth is on the action, on the Dhamma, the action portion of the Dharma have no beginning, have no beginnings, but is every sadhana is changed, is renewed. Nhân sự giới, it means the world of human, of the where we live. The first path is the last five yata. They speak about the environment. Sha'i, this means. The base is the foundation of the ashaya. The cause is hetu, and the kwa. Thaya is phala. And foundation and cause and effect in time. So that yata speak about human situation. The yata number 17 until 22nd, we speak about how to purify things, and you can how we can escape from the impermanent changing. Visuddhimagga is the gatha number 17 and 18. The physical body is like form, F-O-A-M. Feelings are like a bubble on the surface of the water. The perception are like a magic city. The mental formation are like the stem of a banana tree. The consciousness is like a magic show. The gatha number 19 and 20, we speak about the ignorance. Ignorance exists. Even nobody make them. But because we need ignorance to be enlightenment. And if we have that, because we do not practice appropriate attention. We do not practice appropriate attention, nilitaki. If they are like that, because we do not practice appropriate attention. Why we have appropriate attention? Because there is always inappropriate attention. And so the practice of mindfulness is you lead you back to appropriate attention instead of carry away by inappropriate attention. And it depends on your mind very much. Time depends on your mind a lot. The gatha number 21 or 22, merit, lack of merit, and immovability, these formations are imagined in threefold way. All things are three kind of karma, and these karma are not compatible with each other. The gatha number 23, until 31. Then 23 to 28, we speak about the mutual existence between the conventional truth and the ultimate truth. Conventional truth have its role. Like you say that no left, no right, but you go in, your man sit in this side and woman in the other side, or if we say that no up and down, and when we build a house, you have to build from the foundation to go up. And so the conventional truth is very necessary. So this lesson helps a kind of exchanging between the conventional truth and the ultimate truth. So in science it's the same. According to the ultimate truth, you cannot catch at any Dharma. But in conventional truth, there is a mind who tries to calm herself, who can be coexist with others, and so on and so forth. So it means conventional is necessary. The 25th, they said that the physical form is subject to destruction. A psychological form is also subject to destruction. Still, it said this is life. The lay down, we lay down on and cannot if there is no mind, no body, mind and body must go together. Like mind and body are two part of one reality, like the paper, recto and verso, like the dime have tail on the head, and the third point is not same but not sameness. Like you at 5 years old and you at 50 years old is quite, it's not the same, but it's not different. It's not oneness, it's all otherness, because that is and the Gita until 21 is make clearer on the Gita's on since the Gita number 29, you learn more about psychology, Buddhist psychology, Vishnanavada. It doesn't exist in Trung Quang Lung because Trung Quang Lung exists before, and Vishnanavada is written by Asangya later on. And so at the beginning he start by Theravada Buddhism, and then he look deep, and then he elaborate the new Mahayana text, and then he combine and make a true wisdom born from his own experience. If we develop more in the phenomena, it can help people more. In Vishnana school, they make it very clear. Sometimes we correct that way of experience, because we cannot think without the brain work. But when condition are sufficient, it manifests. When condition are no longer sufficient, it ceases to manifest, to be manifest. From the 29 to 38, Asanga speak about Alaya. The number 29 speak about on the seat. Then on the Yata 30, 31, 33, 34. People speak about Manas. Manas is one state of consciousness. It's kind of ego who can embrace both sides and pull us by craving, by a lot of unwholesome disease, habit. And so we have the habit to say that I suffer because you cause me suffering, but that is a habit energy need to be clean. And sometimes we can first, the last yathas speak about the second part. They speak about affliction and enlightenment. Affliction and enlightenment exist in the same time. Wherever there is affliction, there is enlightenment. It's not because affliction exists and tends to our practices become enlightenment. There's no beginning. And then sometime attention exists there, but you do not see it very clear. So the teaching here, the suffering means enlightenment is so clear. From the Gita 39, 40, 41. And you are liberated from the affliction. And it's lead to a kind of nirvana, nirvana hu yu and nirvana wo yu. Nirvana is extension, but still some remain habit, but it is a kind of nirvana where all the remain are gone. And somebody can see that there is no birth, no death. Even they have still body, but they have nirvana already. They are not afraid because they see that they exist, that is life. And they this person still, when he attained that situation, he still continue to exist in time and space. When you arrive to the nirvana where you have nothing to consider, and Thay said that we need to consider, he it seems that he do not believe that way. I mean, and your five skandhas, five group of elements who make your own self, if your five skandhas are attachment, it means they call the five attached skandhas. But when you are in touch with nirvana, your five skandhas are free. It's also the five skandhas, but they are free. So, the five skandhas do not make you suffer, but the way you make use of skandhas make you suffer. And in the Ratnakuta Sutra, he bring illustration. He take a rock and he throw at the dog. And the dog is so angry at the rock. It looks funny because the dog do not know that the rock is not the cause, but the man who caused, who throw the rock is the cause. You suffer because you are caught in the five attachments, five aggregates. And you are caught by this idea for you to do that or another. And that is your confusion who make you suffer, but your five skandhas is still beautiful. Don't kill your wonderful skandhas in order to avoid suffering. The suffering has nothing to do with your five skandhas. Don't try to search for nirvana in a new place. You can try to find. The only analysis, on this analysis is sometimes is necessary. If you have time, you read it again and you see that it's not so difficult like you thought. So next time, we learn about Quang Sát Nhung Dương Lượng. It means the inter-being observation. We have the translation into English and French already. There is a few yathas only translate into English, not all. Today, if possible, you need to have a Dhamma discussion about doubt, about the power of practice. You have five power, and you have all the condition favorable for you to practice, but you don't know how to make use of all these conditions. Not because we don't have time, but because we have because we don't know how to put into practice. To improve yourself, you do not create the kind of power who can help you. If you can do that, and then the communication with other person is very easy. After the death of Brother Fapkin, we need to learn that lesson. And we cannot be neglectful like in the past. We have to be very, very aware. Don't let time pass by in forgetfulness like that. You have to be aware to practice attention, appropriate attention. You have to keep the five power, the faith, the diligence of the practice, the mindfulness, the concentration, and bring to concentration. If we don't profit from all the good condition you are having now, and then you will regret. Everything can happen. We have many conditions to be able to be successful in the practice. Nowadays, I can declare that you have all the conditions to be successful in your practice. You don't need more theory. You don't need more learning about Buddhism. You only need to put into practice what you learn with me. Very simple, but to consolidate your practice. You have to make use of all the condition for you to practice, and don't complain, and don't let time to be waste. And you waste all the condition for being able to practice.